Hello everyone, welcome to Lab Medicine's podcast series. My name is Kelly Swales and I'm the web editor for Lab Medicine. Joining us today is Dr. Lance Williams. He's currently an assistant professor at the University of Alabama at Birmingham in the Department of Pathology and Division of Laboratory Medicine. He's going to talk with us about using ficin-treated red cells to help identify clinically significant alloantibodies. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Williams.
Thank you for having me, Kelly. This is an important issue and something that has a lot of debate on in the world of transfusion medicine. And so I thought this might be a helpful podcast to kind of educate everybody kind of how we've used ficin in our patients and how it's been beneficial to us.
Well, great. Yeah, I think our listeners will derive great benefit from the topic. So, Dr. Williams, what do you see as some of the issues facing us today regarding antibody detection in the blood bank?
Well, Kelly, even as blood banking has advanced this technology, first we start out with tube testing, then gel, then solid phase, and all sorts of different techniques that we can use to identify antibodies, we still have the problem of patients with undetected antibodies out there, especially patients with sickle cell disease that get so many transfusions over their lifetimes. Sometimes antibodies will come and go and you have the undetected antibodies. And especially in this patient population, you have patients that kind of hospital shop or jump from hospital system to hospital system. And as you know, we do not have a national antibody database. And so a patient could go to another hospital that does not know their antibody history. The antibodies are not detected on antibody screen or antibody panel, and that would be a risk for these patients having some type of reaction. Then, of course, you have the antibodies that are known to disappear, or, the more fancy term for that is evanesce, such as the antibodies in the KID group system. What's particularly dangerous about those antibodies is that antibodies in the KID system disappear so that they are undetectable under antibody screen and antibody panel identification. But once a patient gets a KID positive red cell unit, the antibody rapidly comes back and can lead to either brisk intravascular hemolysis in some rare circumstances or brisk extravascular hemolysis as the antibody rapidly comes back. And then the last thing, the kind of hazy area, is especially with the gel testing and the solid phase testing, is these kind of non-specific antibodies that we come up with. And sometimes the question is, well, is that just what's, the loose term is gel junk, which means it's nothing, it's just some nonspecific reactivity, or is that actually an antibody that's developing or is kind of weakening that the more sensitive technology is being able to pick up? And the question is, kind of what do we do with those antibodies? So those are some of the major things that give blood bankers headaches.
Yeah, I remember having several of those type of headaches whenever back in the day whenever I was on the bench.
Yeah.
Can you speak about the various lab techniques used in blood banking now and how they relate to the problems you just mentioned?
Sure. So, back, when blood banking was started, the most basic technology, of course, is the tube testing. Basically, just mixing the patient's plasma or serum together donor blood or reagent red cells and mixing them together and see if there's a reaction. And, of course, you can do that without enhancement, which is not technically done today unless you're just testing for the patient's ABO type. So that's the most basic method and, kind of the least sensitive method. Then, as I mentioned before, as we went along and developed our technology, kind of the next step up was the gel testing, which is just basically a gel column. And as if an antibody or an antigen reaction occurs, as it passes through the gel, it gets trapped. And that was kind of a step up in sensitivity from the tube testing. And then, of course, next we have, the echoes or the solid phase testing, which is basically a well that has the antigen to antibody reaction. And that's generally considered a little bit more sensitive than the gel testing. And then lastly, we have our standard enhancement media. So the LISH, kind of decreases the ionic forces between cells and lets them come together. The PEG kind of dehydrates the samples to achieve the same effect, bring the cells together. And then we talk about, some of our enzymes that we can use, like ficin or papain, which basically work to kind of uncover some of the more significant antibodies that we can detect. But as we've moved on from just straight tube testing, what we found is that we're picking up a lot more antibodies, a lot of which we don't know what to do with, but the benefit of all that testing is that we're picking up more antibodies that we can identify, and then we can give antigen negative blood for that. So of course, as with everything, there are pluses and positives and negatives to the technology.
What are some of the dangers of undetected antibodies? I mean, we go through all of this rigmarole to find them, but still there's going to be some cases where we don't.
Well, just like we, talked about before with undetected antibodies and antibodies that evanesce, if you end up then giving the unit that is positive for the antigen for that undetected antibody, then what could happen is you could re-stimulate the immune system, and maybe it doesn't happen with the first unit that you gave that was antigen positive, but maybe the second or third, depending on how long the patient is in the hospital, that antibody production could ramp up, and then the patient could have a hemolytic transfusion reaction after that. And just like I talked about with, the kid antibodies, if that antibody has evanesced and then has a rapid return, then you're truly at a risk for a potentially severe hemolytic transfusion reaction, which, of course, extends the patient's hospitalization, leads to increased healthcare costs, and just complicates the patient's overall treatment plan.
What has your hospital done to increase the detection rate of antibodies? Because obviously, as you just said, it's bad if they're undetected. So how are you increasing the detection rate?
Well, and that's what the, kind of the main purpose of this call was, to talk about basically our ficin protocol that we developed. Many people are not a big fan of ficin because of some things that we'll talk about later. But basically, we said, okay, we get that, ficin protocols can be a little bit more complicated. So our idea, which can be seen in our article in Lab Medicine, was to simplify it and kind of minimize the cost and time associated with it. So at our hospital, we actually start off with a fairly sensitive screening method. We use a gel screening here. If that's positive, then what we do is we actually move on to a PEG screening method to see if there's any equivocability between those two. So if the PEG screen is negative or not consistent with the gel screen, then we actually move on to doing a full gel panel. Again, we want to stick with the most sensitive method if there's not equivocability between the gel and the PEG screen. Then if the gel panel is negative or there's a non-specific pattern there, then that's when we will actually move on to do a ficin-treated gel panel and try to identify some of those kind of non-specific antibodies in there. And you go back up to the protocol, if the PEG screen is positive and consistent with the gel screen, then we're not going to mess around with the ficin. We're going to just go a PEG panel and try to identify the antibody like that. So try to, use those results to limit the use of ficin. So we're not using ficin on every patient. We're limiting it to the patients where we actually feel that there will be some benefit to it. So, basically, what does ficin do in general? Basically, ficin kind of cleaves some antigen sites so that it uncovers ones that we are actually could be more clinically significant. And actually, the blood bank guy, he comes up with a funny little mnemonic, and that is, Lewis is a rotten peeing kid. And that tells you that what ficin enhances is Lewis, I, ABO, RH, P antigen, and kid. Now, what ficin destroys is actually the Duffy and the MNS group, and what ficin does not affect is the Kell blood group system. And so those are the things that you have to keep in mind when you're actually interpreting the results of a ficin panel. Now, like I talked about before, there are, those who argue against using ficin, and that's And some of these are the reason we developed our protocol the way we did. Of course, if you're using FISA, that's something that you have to purchase. So there's a cost associated with it. The other thing is people say, well, one, it takes time to produce FISA-treated cells, and then it takes tech time to do this extra step of doing the actual FISA protocol. Those are the reasons we developed the protocol we do the way we did. We wanted to try to limit the use of FISA and limit the effect of cost and time on the hospital system.
What would you say that your specific protocol overcomes or works to overcome the argument against it? Like, what would you say to someone if they said, but it's too expensive, and you would say, well, it is, but...
Oh, yeah. So I think the first smart move that we made, or what's actually become available, is we were able to actually use commercially prepared FISA-treated cells. So you no longer have to take the time to produce the FISA-treated cells yourself. And then I think the second big thing we did was, you know, like I said, in kind of the algorithm or the protocol, is we limited the antibodies of undetermined significance or the nonspecifics, the FISA protocol, to those not identified by PEG or tube testing. So if the gel screen and the PEG screen kind of agreed, we just went ahead and used the PEG panel to do our antibody identification. But it was really only in those where they disagreed that the FISA-treated gel panel became a possibility.
You and your team recently published a paper in Lab Medicine kind of about your protocol. Can you talk a little bit about the results you've seen using your FISA protocol?
Basically, we just limited, this was actually one of our fellow Ben Hill's projects, and so because of the limited time frame of his fellowship, we limited our study to a 3-month time frame, but you remember we're at a huge university system here, and you know, we do thousands and thousands and thousands of antibody screens and antibody panels per year. So we looked over a 3-month time frame and used the FISA treatment protocol on 97 samples. The big thing from that is we were able to identify 25 new alloantibodies that would have otherwise been missed if we weren't using our FISA protocol. You know, the thing, we go back to talking about, you know, what's the cost on the tech time or the overall workload, that really only equates to a little over one FISA panel performed per day during the study period. And also important, the majority of the new alloantibodies discovered were going to be clinically significant antibodies. Most of them were in the Rh and the kid blood group systems.
What do you think has been the overall effect of your protocol in terms of patient care?
You know, whenever you're kind of finding more things that could be important to the patient, I think basically, you know, we have made transfusions safer at our hospital, especially considering, you know, that we are kind of in Alabama, we're kind of the major medical center. I mean, and we're right in the center of Alabama. And so all the difficult cases come to us. You know, let's say a sickle cell patient is in crisis and they need a red blood cell exchange. Well, those people are all going to come to us because we're one of the few centers that do apheresis procedures in the state of Alabama. So I think, you know, because we have these patients that may come with little to no history, you know, we have truly made transfusion safer at our hospital. And one of the major things that's contributed to that is including, you know, FISA in our workups. At the same time, you know, we have minimized the financial burden by limiting the FISA protocol to a smaller number of specimens that we test each month, and by using that those pretreated FISA cells in our protocols.
Thank you so much, Dr. Williams, for taking the time to talk about this for our listeners today. I think they're going to find it very informative.
Yes, thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it.